Today's daf is Nun Vav. We're going to start at the very bottom of Nun Hey Amud Bet. Two lines from the bottom. Smicha Gufa Menalan. Okay, I'm just going to review very briefly where we were up to. We had a klalu prat that were muruchakim zemizeh, that were distance, and then we said, oh, you can't do a klalu prat if two psukim are far apart from each other. In order then to suggest maybe that's not true, and you actually can do a klalu prat with two psukim that are far apart from each other, we then got off on a tangent onto this psukim about shechting korbanot chatat in the place where we shecht the olam, meaning the din of tzafon, okay, the din that the chatat has to be done with tzafon. And we said there's a klal where it says zotarat ha-chatat, and you have to do it in the tzafon. And then there's a prat, which is the seir of the nasi. And they said, oh, well, maybe, right? In other words, there was a suggestion in this source, which then said, and as the Braita suggested, that maybe you would have thought that when it says that you have to do the seir of the nasi in the tzafon, that's to tell you that only that chatat needs a tzafon and not any other. Okay, that was the suggestion, the hava mina in the braita was maybe you only need it for the chatat of the nasi. Okay, only the chatat of the nasi needs tzafon. Okay, now the Gemara tries to say, why would you have thought that that's the case? It must be because it's a klalu prat, and klalu prat. Emanuela Masha, right? The Klalu Prat comes to tell you we only have Masha Biprat. So since it gave you a generalization and then it gave you a specific, maybe that's why the Gemara thought, and the Braita thought that maybe the Chatat of the Nasi only needs to be with Tzafon. And what does that prove? That you could have Klalu Prat that a Meruch Hakim Zemizeh. The Gemara then rejects this and says that's not a Klalu Prat. It's a Pratu klal, because you didn't pay attention to the order. But the nasi came before the pasuk about the chatat. Okay? So then they try to say, well, what's the reason why we thought that maybe this, that it was only that it's only the chatat of the nasi? It's not because of a klal prat, which now we're totally off where we started from, because now we don't even need this anymore. But we're already in the middle of it, so let's explain. They say, because it says oto. Since it says oto by the chatat of the nasi, on the pasuk about the tzafon, it says, let me just read it. It says, v'samach et yado al rosh ha-chatat. No, that's not it. Sorry, wrong pasuk. V'samach yado al rosh ha-seir. V'shachat oto b'makom asher yishchat et ha'olah lefnei Hashem chatati. It's the word oto that makes you think just that and not anything else. Okay? That's what the Gemara concludes, that that's the Hava Mina. That's why we would have thought, because of the word Oto. Not because of the Klalu Prat, and therefore we don't learn anything about a Klalu Prat or Muchakim Zemizim. Okay, so then the Gemara said, what I didn't continue was the end of that Braita. This was just the Hava Mina. The Maskana of the Braita was to say what? Oh, well, there's a third Pasuk in Perek Dalet, in that same Perek about the Seir and Asi, talks about Asher Yachid Yechetah. But I guess Yachid Yechetah, he brings a Chatat also. And there it says you have to do it in the Tzafon, in the place where you do the Olah, which then proves that what? That even though you might have thought, because of the word Oto, that this applies only the Chatat and Asi, now we see, oh no, it applies everywhere. Okay? Then the Gemara says, well, according to that, what are we going to do with this word Oto? We thought the word Oto was coming to limit and say it's only for the Chatat of the Nasi. Then came the final Pasuk to say, oh no, the third Pasuk proved to us it applies across the board. So now, Oto is limiting us to what? So the Gemara concluded, Oto b'tzafon v'ein se'ir nachshon b'tzafon. Okay, now we're going to have a slew of... Pass me a tissue, just... We're now going to have a slew of suggestions as to what we could do with this word Oto. Okay, you follow the word Oto... In the Havamina, in the suggestion, the word Oto was maybe limiting the Tzafon Din only to the Seer of the Nasi. But then that gets rejected in the Braita. So we need to figure out what the word Oto in the Seer of the Nasi is coming to limit. So the first option is, it's coming to limit Oto b'Tzafon v'ein Seer Nachshon b'Tzafon. Okay? So it's coming to tell you that the Seer of Nachshon, which we talked about yesterday, those are the Seerim that the Nisim brought for the for the korban of the Chanukah, or the dedication of the Mishkan, all the Nesiim brought a korban chatat, and that korban chatat was not because they did any sin, it wasn't a typical sin offering. So maybe it's coming to tell you the Ein Sir Nachshon Ta'un Tzafon. Now the Gemara is going to say, why did we, in order to say that this, we came to limit the Sir Nachshon doesn't need Tzafon, you have to have some reason to think that the Sir Nachshon would need Tzafon. So why would you think the Sir Nachshon would need Tzafon? So they suggest, you might have thought, okay, why would we have thought that you would need it? Because just like it needs smicha, like a regular chatat, therefore you would think it would also need safon. Comes Oto to tell you, oh, it doesn't need safon. You have to remember, in order to have a drasha, in order to have a special word in the pasuk that's going to limit the halacha, you had to have had a thought that there would be this halacha. Okay, now, what would be the obvious reason for thinking that it would be tzafon? We're only going to get to that at the end, which is, well, there's a binyan av. In other words, every chatat, zotorat chatat, it's a chatat. So what? It's not the exact sin offering, but you would have thought that, but we'll get to that soon. Right now, they're suggesting, since there's smicha, you would have thought there's also tzafon. So now, you have to ask, usmicha gufa minala, and we're starting from the second line now. Where do we learn this din of smicha? That there's smicha by Sir Nachshon? We're going to find out. There's, in fact, a machlok, and not everybody agrees. Which then is going to make this answer only a partial answer, right? Because it's not going to be according to everybody. Ditanya, v'samach yadol rosh ha-seir. Okay, that was our pasuk about the nasi. It says, v'samach yadol rosh ha-seir. Could have just said, v'samach yadol alav. Why does it say al rosh ha-seir? We know it's a seir. We just said it was a seir. So why does it have to tell you al rosh ha-seir? L'rabot seir nachshon. Ah, the reason it says al rosh ha-seir is to actually include a different rosh seir. What rosh seir would that be? Nachshon l'smicha, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's smicha, and therefore we're going to say, since there's smicha, you would have thought there was tzafon. We need the drasha to tell you, no tzafon. Rabbi Shimon omer, l'rabot seirei avodah kochavim l'smicha. He says it's not coming to include the seir nachshon, it's coming to include that the seir that you bring, if the beti makes a mistake, if you remember, there's the parlin devashil tzibur, which is that the Beit Din made a mistake about some law, and then they bring this par. But if they make a mistake and the Beit Din teaches something wrong regarding Avodah Zarah, then they bring a Seir of Avodah Kochavim. That Seir needs smicha, and we learn that out from here. Who does smicha in that case? The Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin all has to do smicha on the Rosh of the Seir. So now we say, okay, so Matkif LaRavim. Tinach l'Rabbi Yehuda. So I understand. Remember, what are we trying to say? Why would we need Oto to include Seir? Why would we need Oto to include Seir Nachshon? Why would you even think you would need Tzafon for Seir Nachshon? Sorry, I say it wrong. I said to exclude. But it excludes Seir Nachshon. Why would we even think it would be included? Because since you need smicha, you need tzafon. Okay, so that only works according to Rabbi Yehuda. L'Rabbi Shimon ma'ika l'me'emar. What are you going to say? And Amarle, we're going to have three questions about this, okay? Second question is, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's problematic. Why? Amarle marzucha b'reja rab Mary the Ravina. L'Rabbi Yehuda nami, ma'di itrabe itrabe, ma'di lo itrabe lo itrabe. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, just because there's smicha, who's to say you need tzafon? If there's a special drasha for smicha, to include smicha, so then we know you need smicha. But there was no special pasuk to include tzafon. So why would we even think that it would have included tzafon? In other words, if we learn some special halacha, so we learn that halacha, what's to say that smicha and tzafon are interconnected? So number one, according to Rabbi Shimon, there is no smicha, which of course then you wouldn't think there'd be tzafon. Number two, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, where there is smicha, who's to say that those two things are interconnected and you would think there would be tzafon? And third thing, v'chi tema, I lo ma'ate kra. If you didn't have a mi'ut in the pasuk, what would we have thought? And here we finally get to our binyan av. Hava mina teiti b'binyan av. You would have thought what? Well, since it applies to chatat, tzafon, and this is a chatat, maybe you would have thought it would apply. Well, according to that logic, smicha gufe, smicha, you would say the same thing. And therefore, lishtok kra minei v'titei b'binyanav. just like all chatas need smicha. Therefore, what would you have thought? That you would have assumed without a drasha from a pasuk that the chatat of Nachshon would also need smicha. And what do we see? The Torah didn't assume that we knew, again, according to the way the rabbis read it, they didn't assume that you would assume smicha because they have a special drasha to include smicha. So therefore, if they needed a special drasha to include smicha, you would have needed a special drasha to include tzafon. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Shimon, and even if you take a different way of going, forget the smicha, but just let's assume that you have a binyan av, which is what we said originally, that's what you would have thought, just like part of chatat. No, if that's the case, you wouldn't need a special drasha for smicha either, and clearly you do, and therefore, that can't be. Okay, so why are they going to say you couldn't have learned it from a binyan av? Very simply because what's the difference between Seir Nachshon and the Seir of the Nasi? The Seir Nachshon was a one-time event, and the Seir Nasi is continual. And we've already learned this many times, or we've debated it, whether you're allowed to learn Dorot from Sha'ah, right? Or Sha'ah Midorot. So here they're going to say, Ela Sha'ah Midorot lo yafinan. You can't learn what happened on a one-time thing from what goes on an ongoing basis. And therefore, that's why they didn't learn smicha. They didn't assume that you would learn smicha. They needed a special drasha. Therefore, hachanami, you would say the same thing by tzafon, sha'ami derot layofinan. And therefore, what do we basically say? This drasha that oto comes to exclude seir nachshon is not a reasonable drasha. Because in order to exclude something, you had to have thought there would be a reason for it to be included. And since we have no reason, we've disproven all the possible reasons why you would think it would have been in the tzafon, so we reject this drasha. So now we're going to try a different option. Okay, so this was option number one. Oto ta'un tzafon, oto ta'un tzafon, and not seir nachshon. Second one. Oto ta'un tzafon, ve'en ha-shochet omeh b'tzafon. What does it say? B'shachat oto, b'makom asher yishchat et ha'olah. So what do you see here? You have to shecht it, oto, but not the shochet. Who has to be in the tzafon? Just the animal, not the person. If you remember, we learned this in Zvachim, you could have a really long knife, right? And you could shecht it. How exactly you do it, it's a little, you have to be a really good shochet to do that. But in theory, he doesn't have to be there. So now they say, wait a minute. If you want to learn that from Oto, the Oto in the pasuk about the Seir Nasi, Midi Rabbi Achya Nafka. We already learned, Rabbi Achya learned it from somewhere else, from a different pasuk, actually a different oto. Okay? He learned that halacha from a different place where the word oto appears, which means that we can't say it comes from this word oto in this pasuk, because it's already darshan out from a different pasuk. Ditanya, where do we see this? Rabbi Achya Omer, v'shachat oto al yerach ha-mizbeach tzafon. It sounds like a very similar pasuk, but it's in Perek Aleph of Vayikra, the very beginning, when it starts talking about the korbanot. And it says, they sheft the korban on the yerach ha-mizbeach tzafona lefnei Hashem. It's talking about the korban ola. So what do we darshan from there? Ma talmud lomar, why do you need to say this? Lefisha, why do you need the oto? Lefisha matzinu b'mekabel she'omei b'tzafon u'mekabel b'tzafon. Since we learn that when you collect the blood, where do you have to be? Both you have to be omei b'tzafon umekabel b'tzafon. The Kabbalah has to be, he has to be standing in the tzafon, and you have to, the bowl has to be b'tzafon. V'imamad b'darom v'kibel b'tzafon. If you stood in the south, the southern part, right, you're right on the border, and, right, you put your arm out, and you get the blood, pasul. Okay? He says, that's disqualified. So, yachol avzeken, you would have thought, likewise, for the shechita, since that's true about Kabbalah, you would have thought the same about shechita. Talmud lomar, oto, oto b'tzafon, oto refers to the animal, b'shachat oto, you shech the animal. Only the animal has to be b'tzafon, v'lo ha-shochet tzarich lamo b'tzafon. Okay? So therefore, oto, v'lo ha-shochet, can't be. Okay, we've rejected oto and not seir nachshon. We've rejected oto, v'lo ha-shochet, because we already learned it out from a different oto. Okay, next option. Okay, to remember this one, because we're going to come back to this and reinstate it in a little while. When they reject all the other possibilities, they're going to come back to this number two one about lo ashochet, and they're going to reinstate it and reinterpret Divrei Rabbi Achya to say Rabbi Achya is really teaching something different, and therefore you could learn it from here. But now we're going to suggest a few other things. Ela oto b'tzafon ve'ein ben of b'tzafon. Maybe this should be done in the north, but you don't have to shecht the birds in the north. Now, how did you shecht the birds? You didn't do shechita. What did you do? Malika, right? So maybe Oto is coming to say Malika doesn't have to be b'tzafon. Now, why would you have thought Malika has to be b'tzafon? Salkada tachamina leite b'kava chomer mi ben son. You would have thought that we could learn it. We've done this whole thing in Tzvachim already. You would have thought you'd learn it from a kava chomer, from the tzon, from the animals. Ma ben son shelo kavalo kohen. Who has to do the shlita of a ben son? It doesn't have to be a kohen. It could be a regular person. And yet, kavalo tzafon, and yet it needs to be done in the north. So ben of, shekavalo kohen, but a ben of, who could do malika? Only a kohen. So what does that show? Malika is more chamor from shlita, because it has to be done by a kohen, and regular shlita can be done by a zar. Therefore, we would say like this. If the din hakal, which is shchita, has to be done in the tzafon, then the din hachamor, which can only be done by a kohen, malika, eino din shenikba lo tzafon. Okay, that's your kavachomer. However, they're going to knock out this kavachomer and say, this kavachomer is not true. Because what? Ma la ben son sheken kavalo kli. Okay, what's unique about a ben son? Ben son, you have to do the shchita with a kli. What's a kli? Not a bowl. You have to do it with a knife. A knife is also called a kli. You have to do it with a special utensil, whereas Malika was done with the fingernail of the kohen. He didn't need any special unique kli, and therefore you could say, since you need a special unique kli by shchita, that shows shchita is more chamor, which means you could say it also has a din of tzafon, which isn't necessarily going to be the case for Malika. So therefore, we reject number three, which is oto velo ben of. Okay, and then right, we reject that one also.
Okay. Seems like a bit of a stretch.
What's a stretch?
Just because you use a knife, it's more chamor.
Well, it shows that there's unique halachas by that don't exist by the other. There's no reason to think that a kohen doing something is going to mean that it has to be done in tzafon. So, since that's the only reason to say was, oh, it clearly has a more chamor din. But then you see that there's something that's more chamor about this, that it needs, has unique details associated. It just shows you can't prove it from here, because you can disprove it, that's all. It's not convincingly, either way you can prove it, but, okay, next one. Ela oto b'tzafon ve'ein pesach b'tzafon. Okay, oto v'lo pesach. Now, why pesach? Pesach, right? Why would you, again, we're going to have to say, we're going to have to establish why you would have thought Pesach would be b'tzafon, that now we're learning that it doesn't have to be. Okay? So, why would you, remember, what's tzafon generally? Korban Olah, Korban Chatat, and Korban Asham. So now we're going to say, maybe Pesach is like them. Why would it be like them? Oto b'tzafon ve'im Pesach b'tzafon. So now they say, Pesach, what do you mean? We're going to learn Pesach b'tzafon, the ein Pesach b'tzafon from this drasha. Pesach we learn from somewhere else. Mid Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov nafka. D'tanya Rabbi Lezer, we already learned it out from a different place. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov says, Omer, Yachol Yehea Pesach ta'un safon. You might have thought Pesach. Now here he's going to go through the whole mahalach, and we're going to show, he's going to suggest why we would have thought Pesach needs safon. Then he's going to reject it, and once he finishes, we're going to see that he darshens the whole thing from somewhere else. He doesn't learn the no Pesach from Oto. So, why would we have thought so? V'dinu, it's a logical argument. Why? Ma, again, like a kavachomer. Ma ola shelo kavala zman b'shchitata. There's no special din about when you have to shech the ola. Okay? There's no special unique time associated with it. And yet, kavala tzafon, and yet it has to be in the tzafon. So Pesach shekavalo zman l'shchitato, right? The shchita has to be done on Yudalit in the afternoon. It's very time specified. Eino, and therefore it's more chamor because it has specified time. This we also learned this whole thing in Tzvachim. Eino din shekavalo tzafon, right? Wouldn't you have thought that it needs tzafon? So then they say, oh no, you can't say a kal vachomer, because you can easily reject this kal vachomer, because what's unique about a korban ola that's not true by Pesach? Pesach gets eaten and the ola gets entirely burned. So mala ola shekein kalil, right? No, the ola is more chamor from Pesach because the ola gets burned. So reject the kal vachomer. So then they say, well, wait, we have three things. We have an ola that needs, we have a chatat, and we need an asham. So ola, we can't make a kal vachomer, because even though Pesach has zman, and ola doesn't have zman, but ola goes up entirely. Now we're going to have to see, what about chatat and asham? We're going to have to, again, with each of them, say why chatat and asham have a special chumer that doesn't exist by Pesach, and therefore...
I don't understand why they brought Pesach in the first place.
Because they want, why you would even think the Pesach needs Safon? Well, that's what he suggests, right? Pesach, why would you think it doesn't need Safon? It would be obvious because, and that's going to be the conclusion in the end, because it's not Kodshe Kodshim. In general, it's only Kodshe Kodshim that needs Safon. And Kodshim Kalim, which get eaten by the people, don't need Safon. But the suggestion here is that maybe Pesach, you can imagine also why they would have thought Pesach was so chamor, because Pesach also, if you don't bring it, you get your chayv karet. So what they say is, that let's say Pesach has a chumrah that it's uniquely time associated, and that would then say, if this has something more than all the others have, and all the others need safon, then this must also need safon. That's their logic. Okay? But in the end, they're going to reject that. So now they're going to say, mechatat. So why don't we suggest we can learn it from a kal vachomer from chatat? No, because malachatat shakei mechaberet achai ve'kritut. Chatat provides atonement for things that are chai of karet. That puts it in a higher category than Pesach. Me Asham, what about Asham, which isn't Mechaper Achai Vekritut? Mal Asham Shekein Kodshe Kodshim. But Asham is a higher level of sanctity. It's called Kodshe Kodshim, and that's why. What about Mikulhu Nami? What, maybe you could say the combination of the three of them, right? The Ola is Ola Kaliyah, but not the others. The Chatat is Mechaperet Al-Chai Bekritu, but not the others. So maybe you could say from a Sada Shaveh Shabahen, but obviously we're not going to be able to do that because all of them, right, what's unique about all of them? Shekein Kodshe Kodshim. They're all Kodshe Kodshim. So therefore, in the end, we say these are all Kodshe Kodshim, and Pesach is Kodshim Kalim, and therefore you wouldn't need a special drasha to exclude Pesach from the Tzafon Halacha. Okay, so now we're kind of stuck. So when they're stuck and they can't come up with anything else, they go back to one of the rejected arguments. I already told you that it's going to be number two. We're going to go back to Elalo Olam Kida Kamrina Meikara. We go back to the one we said originally, which is Oto B'Tzafon Ve'Ena Shochei B'Tzafon. What was the problem? Uta Kakashelach, and the fact that you had a difficulty Mida Rabbi Achya Nafka, and you said we learned it from Rabbi Achya. Rabbi Achya Lav Limeute Shochei B'Tzafon Uda'ata. His whole mahalach wasn't to say that it's not, that you don't have to do the shechita b'tzafon. Ela hachi kamar. I'm sorry, that the shochet doesn't have to stand in the tzafon. Ela hachi kamar. Ein ha-shochet b'tzafon, aval mekabel b'tzafon. The whole gist of what he was trying to say was, while we know that the shochet doesn't have to be b'tzafon, the mekabel has to be b'tzafon. Now, when we were Rabbi Achya, and the way Rabbi Achya reads according to the Nusach we have above, he said that you might have thought that since the Mekabel has to be B'Tzafon, also the Shochet would have to be B'Tzafon, comes the Pasuk to exclude that possibility. So according to him, you can't read that source of Rabbi Achya, that the gist is leading to the Mekabel B'Tzafon Din. You would have to change entirely what he says and say that his whole drasha is kind of reversed. And that instead of saying that it's obvious that the Mekabel has to be B'Tzafon, and therefore you might have thought also the Shochet, and therefore comes the Pasuk to reject it, you'd have to say the reverse. The Shochet, you'd have to start with what we know from Oto V'Lo HaShochet. You'd have to start with our drasha and say, we know from our Pasuk of the Seir Nasi that Oto comes to exclude the Shochet, that only the animal has to be B'Tzafon and not the Shochet. Once we take that as a given, you might have thought the same would apply also for the Mekabel. Comes that person to tell you, no, the Mekabel has to be B'Tzafon. Okay? And that's, you'd have to change entirely what Rabbi Achya says in order to make this Gemara make sense. Okay? So that's their answer. Okay? So then they say, wait a minute. Mikabel, if you want to learn the Mikabel, we learn it from a different pasuk. Milakach vilakach. Okay, this pasuk is vilakach. It doesn't have it in the Torah or. I forgot to note which pasuk it was. Vilakach. Just got to get the pasuk in a second. Where is it? Vilakach. Can't find it. He takes. Vilakach HaKohen midam haChatat be'etzba'o. Okay, the Kohen takes from the dam haChatat. So here you're talking about the Mikabel, right? And the Kohen comes and he takes from the dam haChatat. Okay, so what do we learn about this? And then he does the Hazayot. So they learn from this. It's called a notri cone, where kind of it's like Rashi Tevot, sort of. It's a little different, but Vilakach Lo Yikach. We learned this in Zvachim, right? He has to take himself. I mean, he himself has to be B'tzafon. So now they say, so therefore, how could you say Mikabel, we learn from the Oto Pasuk, Milakach Vilakach Nafka. We learn that out from somewhere else. You can't actually say this. So what's the answer? Lakach velakach lo mashmalei. The author of this brayta who said oto velo ashochet, or you know whoever darshed in this thing, right? It doesn't actually appear in a brayta, but whoever darshed in this, we're gonna say he doesn't darshin lakach velakach. Okay, he doesn't think that's a good drasha, and therefore he has to find a different drasha to teach you the Mikabel is b'tzafon. As soon as we say oto there comes to include that the Mikabel has to be b'tzafon. From there, we can learn from our pasuk, Oto v'lo ashochet. Okay? And that removes Rabbi Achya. Okay, that's the end of this section. We're now going to the second part, the next part of the Mishnah, which is that if you actually leaven the dough, what are you chayav for, right? How many malkot you get on what you get malkot. So, according to the Mishnah, it said, you're chayav al ishata, v'al arichata, v'al afiyata, right? You're chayav on the kneading, on the shaping of the bread, and on the baking of the bread. And we learned also, we added kitor, also kind of putting water on the top to make it shiny. Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa now says, afa'a lokeshtayim, achat al arichata, v'achat al afiyata. So now he says, if you just bake it, you're actually chayav too, because in baking it, you finish the shaping. The baking is actually like the final act of the shaping, because until you put it in the oven, it's not fully shaped, I guess. So there's this assumption that when you're putting it in the oven, you're finalizing the shaping, and on that, Rav Papa says, you're going to get actually two sets of malkot. Echad al arichata v'echad al afiyata. So now they say, wait a minute. V'ha amar, didn't we say, ma afiya miyuchedet shehu ma'aseh yechidi? Didn't the source before say, right, I think it was the Mishnah actually said it, right, let me just see, it was in the Mishnah, no, it was a Braita. So when we saw the Braita, right, it was at the top of Nun Hei Amubet, Tamar Lomar Lo Te'afeh, right, Afiya Bechlal Haita, and why did it, Yotzei Min HaKlal, Lakish, Ma Afiya Miyuchedet, Shima Se Yechidi, and Yochaya Bechnei Atzma, so afli shatava richatava komasei yichidi. What does it mean amasei yichidi? It's a single event, which means you'd only be chayav malkot once. So how could you say, Rav Papa says, on afiya you're chayav twice, when in the Braita it said, afiya is a maasei yichidi. So how could you possibly reconcile those two things? So what are the answer? Lo kashya. Ha da'arechu va'afahu, ha da'arechavre v'yavle va'afa. Okay? There's a difference. If you're only, okay, there's two ways to read this. Let's read the way Rashi reads it. If you do the aricha and you do the afiyah, then you get one set of malkot on the aricha, and only one set, that's what we call it a maaseh yechidi, on the afiyah. Then we don't look at the afiyah as gemar aricha, because you actually did a whole act of aricha. But if arichavre, if your friend shaped the loaves, and then you put it in the oven, then in that case you're chayav both for baking and for shaping.
And is okay. He also chayav for shaping?
And they're both chayav for shaping. So then the friend gets the chiyuv malkot for shaping, and you get the chiyuv malkot for finishing the shape, finalizing the shaping, and for baking. Okay? So that's one way of explaining it. Some people will claim, no, it's dafka the opposite. In other words, if you did the arichah and the afiyah, then you're chayav twice. And if you only did the afiyah, then you're only chayav once. But it seems that that's not what Rashi takes. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, Okay, if you have an animal that's a b'chor, now if you remember, the b'chor is kadosh, you can't inflict a mum in a b'chor because it's kadosh. Right? The firstborn animals go to the kohen, but if a b'chor becomes a bal mum, then it's disqualified, right? And then you leave it to graze, and then the kohen can do it without actually offering up a sacrifice, because he can't offer it up a sacrifice. Usually he has to offer it up a sacrifice, and then he can eat part of the meat. But if you have a bechor, shachazo dam, what does that mean? It means his, like the veins are constricted, and there's a problem, and the animal's going to die. And in order to save the animal, what can you do? Mikizim, okay? Mikizin oto et adam. Okay, you're allowed to do hakazat adam. You can bloodlet on that animal. Okay, however, you can only bloodlet bimakom she'eno simbo mum. It has to be a place where it's like in the flesh, where it will heal. If you make an incision, and you let the blood, and then it'll eventually heal, so it won't actually create a mum. But if you do it on the ear or on the eye, then it's not going to be, it's not going to heal, and it's a mum. So you're not allowed to do it in a place where it will create a mum. Okay, according to Tanakhama. According to Rabbi Meir. So what does he say? Mikizin oto et adam b'makom she'ein osim b'mum ve'ein mikizin et adam b'makom she'osim b'mum. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Now what's the issue here? The issue is this animal is already a bal mum because it's about to die, right? And what bigger mum is it than you're on your deathbed, right? You're about to die because you have your veins are constricted. So therefore, he says, so yes, you can be mekizdam, but you can't inflict another mum in the animal. This is going to be a homachloket. Are you not allowed to inflict a mum in an animal that's tamim, that's perfect? Or are you even not allowed to inflict a mum in an animal that already has a mum? Okay, so chachamim omrim, so Rabbi Meir says you can't inflict a mum. Okay? You can only do it in a way that you can. Chachamim omrim, we're going to have a four-way machloket here. Yakiz, af makom shosim b'mum. You can do it. Okay, why? Because the animal is already a bal mum. So, no problem. However, he limits it. He says, ubevad shelo yishchot al otomum. But if you're the kohen who does the hakazat dam, you can't now say, oh, based on this mum, I'm going to now slaughter this animal and eat it without having to sacrifice it because it doesn't look good, right? It looks like maybe you inflicted the mum just so that you could eat it. So therefore, he says, you can't do that. Rabbi Shimon Omer, af nishchat al oto mum. Rabbi Shimon says, there's absolutely no problem even for you to shech the animal based on this mum. Okay? Now, there's a very, very interesting debate about Rabbi Shimon here. Is this because, what's your goal when you're trying to do, when you're doing the hakazat dam? To save the animal. So what's this called? Davar she'eino mitkaven. You inflicted a mum without intending to inflict a mum. You didn't intend to inflict a mum. What was your intention? This is classic Rabbi Shimon, if you remember from Shabbat. He's the one who has the famous shita, the davar she'eino mitkaven is patur, right? That if you start doing something and you're not intending for the malacha, you're intending for something else, right? You're pouring water on the grass because you're washing your hands. You're intending to wash your hands. You're not intending to water the grass. So he says it's patur. Okay, so therefore, according to Rashi, okay, if you look at Rashi on the previous page, af nishchat al oto mum, Rabbi Shimon l'ta'ameida amar davar she'eino mitkaven mutar. He says, this is classic Rabbi Shimon. V'ze lo nitkaven la'atil b'mum al menat l'shochto alav. Okay, he wasn't trying to give a mum. Now, what's the problem here? The example I gave with watering the grass wasn't a great example. Why? Because when you wash your hands over the grass, even though Rabbi Shimon would say, in theory, davar she'eino mitkaven mutar, not if you know that that will definitely happen. So if you know that the grass is going to get watered by you doing that, which clearly it's happened, it is happening. That's called a psik resha. Remember, it's a psik resha where it'll definitely happen. And, right, because that means, well, can you cut off the head of a chicken and it won't die? Of course not. So therefore, they say, wait a minute. According to this, if you go with Rashi, it's only going to be if it's not clear that by bloodletting you're going to cause a mum. But if you're actually, milachatchila, this is 100% going to cause a mum, then you wouldn't be allowed to. Okay? Tosfot disagrees. Tosfot says that this isn't the classic Rabbi Shimon Davar Sheinu Mitkafin. And he says it's based on something else. It's not because of that. And according to then Tosfot, even if you know 100% it's going to cause a mum, that's not. And what's the reason? The reason is because you're saving the animal. In other words, you have no choice here. The only other way, right? It's already a bal mum, and you're just trying to save the animal, and therefore it's mutar. Okay? So it's very important whether you connect it to the Davar Sheinu Mitkavin, because there's a very big nafka mina. Okay? There's a big long Tosfot about that. That's what that whole Tosfot's about.
It wouldn't be okay for the Beit HaMikdash anyway, because it's sick.
No, so then the Kohen's allowed to shecht it anywhere he wants, in any way, right? He can eat it. He doesn't have to, if once it has a mum, he doesn't have to do the whole process of bringing a sacrifice, eating it, then it's got sanctified.
But
it's only in certain places
it
could be.
It would be treifa because it's sick.
No, because if you fixed it by bloodletting, and then you resolve the issue, it's now better, but now it has a mum. And now it can't be a bechor. Now you can shecht it any time, anywhere, very easily. Right, it can't be a korban. So, okay. So that's like a very interesting shita. Okay, so far we've seen three opinions. Okay, number one, that I'll just go through before we get to the fourth. Number one, you can do it as long as you don't make a mum. That's Rabbi Meir. Chachamim say you can create a mum as long as you don't shecht it because of that mum. And if it gets another mum, then fine, you can shecht it, but not you as the Kohen can't do that. Rabbi Shimon says you can even shecht it based on that mum. And Rabbi Yehuda is the last one, Omer afilu meit ein mikizin lo et adam. Okay, even if it dies, you can't do hakazar adam. In other words, you can't do anything that's going to cause a mum, even if it might mean that the animal will die. Okay, he has the most extreme shita. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Hakol modim b'mechametz achar mechametz shehu chayav. Now we see why we got here, okay? What's the idea here? What we were doing was we were taking a bal mum and we were inflicting another mum in the animal. So now this is like doing something to leaven the bread after the dough, after it's already leavened. So everyone agrees, all four of these opinions will agree, that mechametz achar mechametz shehu chayav. If, let's say, you start kneading the dough and it leavens, and then you bake it, which causes it to leaven even more, so we already learned that you're chayav on the baking, even though you've already leavened it. So this is like bishul achar bishul on Shabbat, right? Ein bishul achar bishul. Once you've already cooked something, there's no further act called cooking because it's already cooked. So here we say otherwise. The mechametz achar mechametz, you're going to be chayav. Dichtiv, lo te'aseh chametz v'lo te'afeh chametz. Since it has that additional lo te'afeh chametz, and the afiyah is coming at a later stage after it's already somewhat leavened, so therefore it's obvious that you would be chayav. B'misareh achar misareh, another thing they all agree about, shehu chayav, is that if you can't castrate an animal, okay, this is even regular animals, okay, I'll read you the pasuk. The pasuk is in Vayikra Kaf Bet Kaf Dalet. It says, Ma'uch v'chatuk v'natuk v'karu lo takrivu l'Hashem. It's talking about balei mum, okay, the testicles are, what's the first word? Ma'uch is crushed? No, I think chatut, squeezed. Squeezed or crushed or cut or, detached or cut. Natuk is detached and karut is cut. Okay? So what's this misares achar misares? You already cut it, but you didn't detach it. Okay? So, here they say, everyone agrees you're chayav because it says in the pasuk, ma'uch v'chatuk v'natuk v'karut. Now, you have to understand the next part of that pasuk because that's just listing balei mum, right? You're a mum if the animal is castrated in these ways. But then it says, uba'artzachem lo tasu. But then it says, in your lands, you should never do this. You should never castrate an animal. From there, they learn there's a lo tasu to castrate an animal. So now they say, im al koretu chayav, if you're chayav by cutting it, al notek lo kol shaken, al natuk lo kol shaken, wouldn't it be obvious that you're going to be chayav if you detach it? Ela lahavi notek achar koret shehu chayav. Okay, therefore, it must mean that you're chayav on each of those pi'ulot separately. Okay, both cutting and detaching. So therefore, you see that misares achar misares, everybody agrees you're going to be chayav. Okay, so we now have, remember, there was a four-way machloket about the case about the Bechor who already has a Baal Mum and you want to inflict another Mum in the animal. But here they say, even though there's four-way machloket there, everybody will agree that if you leaven it after it was already leavened, you're chayav because of lo taseh and lo ta'afeh. If you're misares achar misares in an animal, then you're chayav even, right, if it was karut and you were minatek, you detached it, you're still chayav based on the pasuk there. Lo nechleku en le b'matil mum b'bal mum. The only case where there's this form of machloket is someone who inflicts a mum, a blemish, on an animal that was already blemished. What's the root of their machloket? Rabbi Meir Savar, kol mum lo yehiyebo. It says, any mum can't be in this animal. Any mum means any mum, even if it's already a bal mum. We don't care. Any mum, right? All mumim can inflict, sounds to be very general, and that's why Rabbi Meir has the most inclusive shita, that we're going to include anything as asur. V'rabanan savre, tamim yihye l'ratzon. The pasuk says, okay, I'll read the whole pasuk. Ish ki akriv zevach shlamim l'ashem, v'yikr kaf bek kaf aleph. Lefalei neder ole nidavaba bakaro batzon. Okay, if you want to bring an animal to fulfill a promise you made, tamim yihye, it has to be tamim, pure or whole, liratzon, kol mum lo yiyebo, can't have a mum. So what does he say? Well, tamim yihye liratzon comes to say, right, you can't inflict a mum on an animal that's tamim. But if the animal was already a bal mum, right, when it says kol mum lo yebo, it already said a second ago, it has to be tamim, which means you're only chayav if the animal was tamim, but you're not going to be chayav if the animal was already a bal mum. So now we're going to have to say, what does each one do with the other's pasuk? Rabbi Meir Nami, haktiv. By the way, they only get into the two basic shitot. They don't get into all four. Here they're just talking about, is it a problem to inflict a mum? Is it not a problem? Once you say it's not a problem, then you just get into a debate. Are you allowed to shecht it? Are you not allowed to shecht it? Right? And it's the Kohen himself who inflicted the mum. Then you get into more details. But this is the basic. So Rabbi Meir, what does he do with tamim yeh ratzon? Hahu lemi'ute bal mum me'ikara. He only said, that's only to exclude an animal that was never right away, that was born a bal mum, but not an animal that, let's say, was achazodam. It started with some blood condition that developed over time. But it means you can't, if you were to inflict a mum into an animal that was born a bal mum, born blemish, then you wouldn't be chayav. That's what Rabbi Meir does with that pasuk, but it doesn't apply to our case. So they reject it. They say, what do you mean? Bal mum me'ikara dikla ba'almahu. That can't possibly be what that's coming to say, because a bal mum me'ikara is never called a bechor. It's like a dekel, a tree. In other words, it's just a tree. It's not an animal. It's not an animal that can be right away for a korban. It wouldn't even be relating to that in this pasuk. Therefore, it must be coming to l'me'ute something else. It must be coming to exclude an animal that became pasul, disqualified to be brought as a korban. Remember, we've seen many times where animals can become disqualified not because it was a bal mum. And then you redeem the animal. What do? You leave it to graze, remember? Depending on what kind of animal it is, right? Some, the chatap, for example, has to be left to die. But if it's another one, you can leave it to graze. Then you redeem the animal. But what happens? After you redeem it, it still retains a certain element of kedusha. What's the kedusha? Sakadat hakamina, you might have thought, ho'il va'asire begiza va'avoda, you're not allowed to use the shearings of that animal. You can't shear it and use the shearings. And you can't work the animal. So since it still retains status of a sanctified animal for those purposes, what might you have thought? B'mumam nami litzere. You also are forbidden to be metil mum, an animal like that. Kamash malan. Therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, tamim yeh l'ratzon comes to exclude that kind of animal. So what does it mean? Tamim yeh l'ratzon means if the animal was a psul mikdash and you redeemed it, you can already put a mum in that animal. We don't care. But according to Rabbanan, it doesn't come for that, right? It comes to teach you that ein mum achar mum, right? If it already is as a mum, then it's not. Rabbanan, nami haktiv, kol mum lo yebo. What does he do with kol mum lo yebo? Kol mum lo yebo, we just said, according to Rabbi Meir, includes even a mum after, right? Even a mum being matil mum, giving it a blemish after it's already blemished. So what is Rabbanan, who don't agree with that, what do they do with it? Ha'hu mevayle l'chidetanya, they need it for this bright. V'kol mum lo yebo. It sounds like you can't, it's interesting, yehebo sounds like it has a mum, but what they mean is you can't inflict a wound on that animal, a blemish. How do you know that you also can't do it in an indirect manner? You can't stick something on its ear so that a dog will come and snatch it off his ear and inflict a blemish in the animal. Tamud lamar kol mum. Okay? Amar mum va amar kol mum. Okay, since it says kol mum, it means any way you do it, indirect or direct. Amar Rabbi Ami, heniach se'or al gabei isa v'halach v'yashav lo v'nitchamtza me'eleha. What if, now we're getting into a different halacha. What if you put the se'or on the dough and then you left it and it leavened on its own? What are they pointing out here? That leavening the bread is not exactly an active act, because you do one thing, you put it in there, right? But then you leave it and it kind of does it on its own. And we're going to compare it to Shabbat, okay? Where certain things also on Shabbat, you can sort of do one thing, but we'll see in a minute. Chayav ala, how do you know you're chayav kima'aseh Shabbat? He's saying you're chayav like ma'aseh Shabbat. In other words, you do an act that caused another act. You put the leavening agent in it and it leavened on its own. You're chayav, just like you're chayav if you put a piece of meat on the fire on Shabbat. You didn't actually cook it because it's going to cook by the fire as the time goes on. So now they say, "Umaseh Shabbat ki agav nami mechayev." Are you really chayav this way? V'hamar Rabbi Bar Chanan, Rabbi Yochanan, hiniach basar al gabei gechalim. If you put basar on the coals, hipech bo chayav, lo hipech bo patur. If you put meat on the fire, but you don't flip it over, since you're not going to cook the meat properly, the top is going to still be raw. Okay, I don't know. It depends how long you leave it for. It depends how good your flame is. But he's saying only if you flip it are you going to be chayav. Otherwise, you're going to be patur. So what do you see here? It's not like the leavening, because if you leave the leavening, right, and so here you don't have the hipechbo. So Amarava, my chayav nami deka amar, kima asetzli b'shal Shabbat. They say, what they mean here is, if you put the leavening agent in a way where it's going to leaven the whole thing, then you're going to be chayav, just like in the case where you flip it. Okay, because even when you flip it, you're still not doing the act of cooking, because the act of cooking kind of happens on its own, just like the act of leavening happens on its own. And therefore, even though you're not actually, if this comes into the whole, what does it mean to do a ma'aseh avera? Even though, right, you obviously enabled it to happen by putting it on the flame and flipping it. Likewise, when you put the leavening agent into the bowl, it's going to obviously leaven the dough, and therefore you're going to be chayav. Okay?
Where's my shabbat?